Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Most people think high blood pressure is the problem, but what if it actually the signal? A warning light, a message from the body that something deeper may be going on. Stress, hormones, inflammation, lifestyle, sleep, nutrition, metabolic health. Today, we are talking about how to stop chasing symptoms and start asking better questions about what your body really is trying to tell you. My guest today is Joel Polly. He's a nurse and an entrepreneur who is passionate about helping people understand the root cause of illness instead of only treating the symptoms. Joel's work focuses on health, hormones, blood pressure prevention, and empowering people to better understand what's happening inside their bodies before issues become bigger problems. Joel, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on.
Honored to be here. Thank you so much, Stacey.
Oh, you're very welcome. Now, Joel, let's start with the big idea. Now, you believe people need to look for the root cause of the illness, not just treat the symptoms. What does that actually mean in real life?
So I like to use the analogy of a flooded basement, right? You have a pipe that's leaking in your basement and you take a mop down there to clean up all the water. Well, what happens if you don't fix the pipe first? You're just mopping endlessly, right? And so that's what people are doing when all they do is focus on the symptoms. So you have to find the cause. And when you find the cause and you eliminate the cause, your body is capable of healing itself. There's so many functions that go on in our bodies, and it is something that the body was designed to do on its own. So that's kind of how I look at treating symptoms versus treating the cause.
I love that, because in our society, I see so many people looking at the symptoms and they're not going for the root cause. And you see that a lot of times when people go into a lot of doctor's offices.
Right.
They'll say, you know, this is bothering me, that's bothering me. And they'll give them a prescription to mask the symptom, but then all of a sudden they have another symptom because that medication is giving them another symptom.
Right.
And then they're going back to the doctor and they're saying, okay, this symptom it's non-existent anymore, but now I'm feeling this. And then they're writing another prescription. And then before you know it, you have a whole pharmacy in your bathroom.
Absolutely.
And you're not feeling any better. And,
right.
You know, you see that all the time when if people just focused on the root cause to begin with, you know, that's what the main thing is. You know, these symptoms is our body saying, yo, there's something wrong. There's something going on here. I need some help, you know. And that's all they are. Just like inflammation, you know,
Absolutely.
It causes pain. It presses on nerves sometimes. It's saying that there's a problem in that specific area. Come and help me, you know.
Right.
And people have to realize that. It's not just, you know, this is not just the problem. It's bigger than that, you know. And, you know, one other question I wanted to ask you is why do so many people focus on the number of symptoms or the diagnosis instead of asking, like, what caused it, just like I was saying?
Yeah. That's a great question, Stacey. I think that one of the main reasons is because of our perception of the healthcare system. The healthcare system to us is the only option. Doctors, hospitals, 911, you know, these are all great things that are in our society, but we often place them on a pedestal of infallibility, right? Like they can do no wrong. They can think no wrong. And when it comes to chronic disease, especially, like you said, prescription, the word prescription itself should indicate to the person that this isn't something that's going to cure you. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a prescription, right? If you took something that cured you,
yeah,
you wouldn't have to keep going back to take it. So I think that's one of the reasons, is just the perception of the medical system that they can do no wrong. And we don't take the time to critically think through some of these things.
Yeah. Oh, I agree 100%. And what happens when we ignore the root cause for too long?
So back to the flooded basement analogy, it's like your basement just keeps getting more and more flooded. You can't keep up with a mop. And so that's how the chronic diseases start turning into other things. High blood pressure turns into heart attack, or stroke, or neuropathy, or all of these other fringe things are where the root cause is just grown to another part of the body.
I agree. Now, let's talk about blood pressure for a second. And it's something that a lot of people in the United States suffer from. And a lot has to do with how we take care of our bodies. You know, most people hear high blood pressure and immediately they think medication, stress, or age. But from your perspective, what can high blood pressure actually be telling us?
Yeah. So high blood pressure, I've in my studies and in my interaction with hundreds, thousands of clients, I've kind of discovered that there's three main pieces to the cause of high blood pressure. And I call it the blood pressure triangle. And the three points of the triangle are the top three causes, in my opinion. And at the top is stress. You know, that's the big one. But stress takes the form of so many things that we don't think about, too. It's not just my job stressing me out or my kids are stressing me out. It's also past trauma. It's unresolved grief. It's anger issues. You know, those are all stressors on the body that the brain interprets as the need for fight or flight. So the cortisol goes up. The hormones get out of whack. All of that, and especially women over 40, when they start to have those hormonal shifts, the estrogen doesn't protect them from the cortisol like it used to. And so that's how hormones affect your blood pressure. So that's the big one right there. And then the other corner is blood sugar. So if you're diabetic, pre-diabetic, you most likely have high blood pressure because of the excess sugar and how it affects your kidneys, your water retention, all affects your blood pressure. And then the third point is just lifestyle habits. There's some things that we do just day to day as Americans that really affect our blood pressure. But the number one for me, is definitely stress. Stress and hormones being the main cause.
I remember hearing it was like 70% of illnesses are caused by stress. And then I had a doctor from Harvard come on and he corrected me. And he said, no, 100% of illnesses are caused by stress.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. You know, stress plays a big role on, you know, on illness. Just it's like knocking down the walls of the immune system and saying, come on in, you know, have a ball. And, you know, then and that's how people start to get sick is their immunity goes downhill. You know, they're open to all these different things. You know, their body isn't as strong because of stress. Stress can kill it. When they have the saying, it can kill you. It really can kill you.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. In fact, they did a study and they said that 10 minutes of road rage, just 10 minutes, is equivalent to smoking a pack of cigarettes.
No way, really?
So imagine the amount of stress that, you know, we're under normally in American society. It's way more than that.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, that's an amazing fact.
Yeah.
Now, why should people look at blood pressure as a signal rather than just a number?
Yeah. So a lot of people get obsessed with the number, right? They have this whole ritual of taking their blood pressure every morning. What's the number going to be? And then they hype themselves up, which makes the number even higher. And it's this whole cycle. And it just causes your doctors to think cha-ching, because here we go, more meds, more prescriptions and things. But the number itself is not the important piece. It's why the number is what it is. Whether it's low, whether it's high, whatever the number, it's really why is the important question to ask. And that reason can change based on what you're thinking about, how you're feeling, what you drank or didn't drink, what you ate or didn't eat, how you slept last night. There's so many variables that looking at the number is like looking through a pinhole and trying to explain the forest. Like it really matters as a signal, like you're saying, but that's not what we should be obsessed with. We should be obsessed with, okay, this number's high today. Why? How am I feeling? What did I do last night? What can I change to make this number lower? And some of the easiest things is just taking a few deep breaths and then retaking it. So it's that easy to modify that number, and it's not something to be obsessed about.
Yeah. And I feel like so many people are obsessed with the number. I see people all the time consistently, you know, checking their blood pressure every day and checking their numbers, you know, when they have diabetes. And well, why is my sugar level so high today if I'm on medication, you know?
Right.
You know, why do I have these numbers for high blood pressure? And they're not looking at the key factor of what caused this. They're just looking at the number. They're obsessed with the number. And right away, like you said, maybe they'll run to the doctor and say, hey, my numbers are really high today, or my number's been high for the last 2 days. Instead of saying, okay, what have you been doing those last 2 days that might be a little bit different than any other day?
Right.
And
right.
trying to fix that, you know, instead of trying to up your medicine and maybe get, you know, effects from that.
Yeah. And, you know, I do have some good news for your audience. There's three beliefs that I find people tend to misunderstand about blood pressure. Number one is that it's genetic. There are genetic propensities to high blood pressure, but it's not a gene that says you have high blood pressure. Because if it was a gene, you would have high blood pressure at 5 years old, 10 years old, but you didn't. And so it's more of a lifestyle trigger that really causes that to take effect. The second thing is that it's permanent. You know, they think that once they're on blood pressure pills, they have to be on them for life. That's not true either. And then the third thing is just that blood pressure is one of those things that has to control every aspect of your life. And it doesn't. Like I said, you don't have to be obsessed with the number as long as you are looking at some of those causes.
This is something a lot of people do not connect. Like, how do hormones affect blood pressure overall?
Yeah, absolutely. So I touched on that a little bit earlier, but one of the main things is estrogen. So as your estrogen production begins to drop, you no longer have that protective mechanism against cortisol. So you might have felt it as you went through perimenopause, like what stressed you out at the age of 20 now feels like it's doubly stressful at the age of 40 or 50. And that's just the lack of estrogen that you used to have. And so understanding that shift is going to help you recalibrate kind of how you approach stressful situations, giving yourself more grace, giving yourself more understanding, and just saying, listen, it's a chemical situation that I can't really help. The other thing, though, is understanding what are some of the things that are really affecting my estrogen levels negatively. So a couple that many people don't know about is unnatural fibers. So anything that's not cotton, or it's a lot of plastics. We're exposed to a lot of plastics in our clothing, in our soft water bottles, in some of the foods we eat, the makeups we put on, and that can affect our estrogen levels negatively as well. So those are kind of two of the main ones. Yeah.
I don't think people realize that too. Like, you know, there are so many people that they will cook and they will cook in plastic bowls, or the food will come in microwavable plastic bowls, and they'll cook in those plastic bowls. And then people wonder why they're, you know, after time, after the build of a plastic in your body, why they're not feeling, you know, they're not feeling as good as they used to. And, you know, if your body doesn't know what it is, it can't break it down. If you can't break it down, it stores it. It stores it. Then it's affecting all different areas of your body. And then, you know, you're running into a lot of problems for sure.
Absolutely.
Now, are there specific hormonal changes that can affect energy and weight, stress, and sleep, and inflammation, or cardiovascular health?
Yeah, absolutely. Cortisol is the main trigger for weight, especially, and a lot of your cardiovascular issues, because cortisol is part of that hormonal cascade when it comes to fight or flight. So you've got a tiger walking up on you, about to pounce. All that adrenaline, all that cortisol that floods your system is designed to save your life, right? And so what happens, though, when we're in stressful situations is all that hormonal shift doesn't go away. It's supposed to reset and go back to zero. But when we hold on to stressful situations, or like I said, unresolved trauma, unresolved past issues with people, that is an ongoing fight or flight gas to the gas pedal situation in our body. And so that causes all sorts of gut problems and vascular problems. And the first place you see it is the blood pressure.
Yes. Yes, 100%. I remember when I was going through hormonal changes, like I always had straight hips. One day I woke up, I looked in the mirror, I was like, where the hell did these things come from? And lo and behold, my cortisol level was up.
I'm telling you, cortisol is like gasoline. It really is.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Now, why is this especially important for people in their midlife?
Because I think really your body starts to decrease its ability to bounce back around midlife. Like, you know, I'm midlife right now. My body doesn't respond the same way it used to in the gym. Again, like you said, the weight doesn't respond the same way. And so these things are starting to build up and your body's not able to recuperate as quickly. And so you're seeing all of the effects, the diabetes, the heart attacks, the strokes that are just really a result of not addressing the cause early on in the midlife. And then by 50, 60, 70, those things start to become really big problems. So it really, really is a thing about just saying, okay, to protect my next 10 years, I need to start working on this right now. And that's what I tell clients, you know, future pace yourself. Think, you know, 5, 10 years down the road, where do you want to be in your health? Because when it comes to chronic disease, the healthcare system, we struggle. We struggle. I'm a nurse, like I said, still a registered nurse, but we struggle with chronic disease because we don't have time to address the cause. We have to treat people a specific way because we have so much to do. And so it really behooves people to, when I say be your own doctor on my show sometimes, I mean spend that time thinking through the stuff that the hospital doesn't have time to talk with you about. It's not get on Dr. Google. It's work with your doctor and spend the time saying, okay, listen, I understand what you're saying. I'm going to take these pills, but let's try to find the root cause. And sometimes you have to do that on your own.
Maybe you could stress to people why, you know, trying to be your own Google doctor is not such a great thing. Because nowadays, you know, we were talking to people and, you know, other doctors and nurses and stuff like that. And you hear it all the time. Everybody's trying to be their own Google doctor. You know, people are using, they're using AI for psychologists and psychiatrists. You know, why is this a dangerous thing and not a good thing?
Well, because one, there is no touch. Like there's so much that as a practitioner, I spent most of my career in the emergency room. I have to see the person and I have to touch them. And it's part of an assessment that has to occur to rule out a huge list of possibilities that Google cannot do for you. So when you tell Google that you have a headache, Google can't determine whether your eyes are looking crooked and you might have a brain tumor, or, you know, it can't do all of these things. And it just gives you this list and then you try to pick the most accurate sound. And then you show up in the ER and you're like, I have a brain tumor. I need help. No, like calm down. But that's what happens when you don't have a human that is able to touch and assess you. And so definitely using your smarts. Get with your doctor. And I tell my clients all the time, I work with your doctor. And so that we look at the causes, we address the causes, we fix the causes. And as your doctor begins to see that, hey, your blood pressure doesn't need as much blood pressure medication, your doctor will cut your medications in half. Like he's very logical and science-based, and he will do that as you fix your body. But it's not something for you to do on your own with Dr. Google by any means. So.
Now, I want to tell the listeners right now, if you're listening and you have felt like your body is giving you warning signs, but you do not fully understand what they mean, make sure to follow this podcast. These are conversations that help you stop guessing, ask better questions, and take a more active role in your health. Now, a lot of people, go to doctors because they feel tired, stressed, anxious, inflamed, or just they just feel off. You know, then they're told everything looks normal. You know, why does that happen?
So oftentimes there's things that we feel within us that don't show up on labs, or they may show up on labs a year later. So labs are not infallible either. We put a lot of weight on labs because, again, we don't have time to dig into your why or your causes. Yeah. So we have to work with numbers, what we have, data. Right. And so oftentimes people will show up and they just feel off, you know, especially women going through perimenopause, menopause period. you just don't feel right. But there's no lab that says she just doesn't feel right. You know, there's none. We don't have that. And so it really is a real situation. And again, it takes some introspection sometimes to say, okay, how old am I? What am I eating? What kind of stress am I on? Because stress, and it does show up as cortisol, but sometimes the deeper stressors don't even show up as cortisol as much. So again, past trauma, unforgiveness, anger, just worry, anxiety. Some of those things are just like this low hum that does erode your body, but doesn't show up on a lab. So those are the things that I really help clients work through with my assessments and things to understand that there's things that go on in your head that aren't going to show up on a lab.
That's so true. I see people all the time, and especially, you know, I know elders, they're like, you see things happening to them that aren't normal, and they go to the doctor, they get a lab work done, or they get a few tests done. And the, you know, the, either if they go to the hospital or they go see their doctor, everything's okay. Everything looks normal, and they send them home. And I say, you know, try to dive deeper, you know, maybe get a second opinion, you know, or, you know, because, you know, there are some things, you know, especially as you get older, if you're getting certain symptoms, you know, and it's out of the ordinary, and, you know, you really should look into these things. Or if you're getting recurrent symptoms all the time,
right,
you know, people should pay more attention to their bodies, because their bodies are trying to talk to them. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just like skin. So skin is one of those things that people really take note of quickly. Some sort of skin eruption or new bump or whatever, they immediately to the doctor, like, what is this? But that is just an indication of a deeper problem. Skin.
Right.
Most skin issues are a gut problem. I tell people that all the time. And so.
Yeah.
Your body as a whole is the same way. There's going to be some things that occur, and you have to take note of them. You've got to listen to them as signals. You don't necessarily have to panic and freak out and say you're dying, but you do have to listen to the signal. So I do encourage people to do that.
I agree. What are some of the signs people should pay attention to, even when they are told that their basic numbers look okay?
Yeah. So blood pressure is a good signal to keep an eye on, but also, you know, your gut. How does your bowels move? Because oftentimes when it comes to stress and some of these, I don't feel right, you can tell by how your gut is moving, because it's true that there's a lot of emotional connections between the heart, the mind, and the gut, and they're all connected.
Yes.
And when you see a change in your gut, know that there's something going on potentially elsewhere in your body. So that's a big one that I tell people to watch out for. Constipation is a big source of toxic overload that people don't pay attention to. So gut is a huge one. And then, you know, memory is a big one for older adults. When your memory starts to slip, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have Alzheimer's or dementia, but it does mean that your body may be lacking something. And oftentimes it's good fats and good sleep. Sleep is a huge problem for people. Insomnia is a huge source of not only high blood pressure, but hormonal imbalance and memory loss.
Yes.
When it comes to memory, that's such a huge deal for older adults, because that's the border between staying home on your own and being placed in a facility. And so you have to protect your brain.
Yes. 100%. Yes. I insomnia is like one of the biggest problems, you know, that you hear all the time from people, and people are always looking for ways to actually, you know, get to sleep, because they're tossing and turning all night long. And a lot of times it's hormonal issue too, because when your hormones start to decline and they're off, you know, a lot of times it affects the sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's a couple housekeeping things I always tell people to check if they are struggling with insomnia. First is get off your screens at least an hour before you go to bed, because the blue light on the screens turns off your melatonin production. And so if you're one of those people like me, sometimes in the bed texting until you want to go to sleep or on TikTok or whatever, that's shutting off that trigger for your brain to go to sleep. The second thing is making sure your room is dark. another trigger for melatonin production. And then thirdly, and this one a lot of people fall for because they don't want to get up and pee at night. They stop drinking water, you know, several hours before bed, thinking that's the solution, but it makes it worse. You only wake up more because your body thinks you're dehydrated. So drinking more water before bed will acclimate your bladder and keep you asleep throughout the night easier. So those are a few things I tell people.
That's great advice. Now, how can people advocate for themselves without feeling overwhelmed or dismissed?
So that one can be tough. You know, oftentimes it's really doctor dependent. Like some doctors are better at listening than others, and just don't feel tied to your primary care physician just because you've had them for years. You know, there's other doctors out there that you may click with better. Sometimes it takes having a nurse in your corner. And so that's why I tell my clients, that's the good thing about me as a coach, naturopathic coach. I'm also a nurse. And so I can help you have these conversations with your doctor in a different way. I'm not just a tree hugger with some herbs.
Right.
Like, no, I actually understand the medical system, the terminology. I know how to talk to doctors. So sometimes it's getting a family member that's a nurse or a friend that's a nurse in your corner to help you speak those things that you're feeling but aren't showing up on the labs.
Right. That's so true. Now let's bring this back to daily life. So what's the biggest lifestyle factor that affect blood pressure and overall wellness?
So American society has been taught that certain things are healthy for us or that they're okay, and they're just not. I mean, it's just, there's no two ways about it. The World Health Organization recently put processed meats in the 1A category of carcinogens. So there is science showing that some of the processed things that we eat, anything in a package, any meats that are really processed, just contain things that are just very, very harmful for our bodies. So that's one of them. The other one is things that are pretty simple, like drinking more water, for instance. I talked about that a little bit. I'm a big proponent of water because dehydration shows up in so many different areas of our life. We just don't even know. There's a book called The Body's Many Cries for Water. And this doctor just kind of goes through all the different illnesses that are just associated with dehydration. It's incredible. So,
really?
And then, and then thirdly, I think the big one is caffeine. I worked as a night nurse for 9 years, huge caffeine fan. Like it was just something a part of my daily routine. And it's something we all do almost nostalgically now, coffee or Starbucks or whatever. But what it does to our adrenal system, our blood pressure, our cortisol levels is very documented as a negative effect. So I'm not saying you need to go off caffeine, but I'm saying if your blood pressure is an issue, if your cortisol is an issue, like these are things that you need to look at in your life and really begin assessing. And then the stress, you know, the stress is, we come back to that over and over, really analyzing what parts of your mind and your heart are stressed, not peaceful. If you can't think stress, think of just not peaceful. What relationships, what memories, and really everybody asks me, well, what do I do once I think of something? You know, once I think of something that's really stressing me out, maybe it's in my past, what do I do? Science has shown that the brain cannot focus on two things at once. And so you leverage that and you start being grateful. Science has also showed that gratitude has direct effect on your emotional well-being and your ability to handle stress. And so as you just spend time meditating on gratitude, things you're grateful for, I can breathe, I can see, I can hear, you know, those things start to unravel that knot of stress. So that's my number one key for people to undo stress and lower cortisol.
And I love those ideas. And I love that you brought up gratitude too, because they say gratitude and, you know, having gratitude and having love in your life and being at peace with yourself is one of the healthiest things you could do for longevity and to live a fulfilling life. Because, you know, when you are on that pathway of thinking and you just start letting go of all the other things in life, because you can't take when we pass over and we go to the other land, you know, we can't take what we have down here.
Right.
So, you know, why are you stressing over it? Our most important thing is our bodies, you know, and we want to feel good. No one wants to wake up not feeling good. So, you know, it's time to focus on yourself and put yourself on the pedestal and take care of number one. Because just like they say on the airplane, you can't help somebody unless you have a mask on first.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think women struggle with this one a lot more than men, which is the major base of my clientele is older women. They've spent so many years taking care of other people. They forget how to take care of themselves, or they don't invest the time or the finances in just fixing their bodies now that they've helped everyone else. And so it's very, very important. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, how much do sleep, stress, nutrition, hydration, movement and emotional health play a role in our lives?
So I think it plays all the role. Like, I think that when it comes down to what is reality, that's reality. It's not, the idea that one day I'll die of a heart attack or I'll die of a stroke or I'll get cancer. Like, we live in that future paced, like, just ephemeral world in our minds sometimes. But the reality is, what did I drink last night? Did I sleep well last night? Like, it's what's happening right now and how we're behaving moment to moment that really matters. And that's what's going to keep us healthy, around for our family, around for our grandkids for the next 5, 10 years. It's not all these fears and these things that we just conjure up in our mind. Like, it is, that is reality. So it's absolutely necessity. Yeah, 100%.
Now, what is one thing people are doing every day that might be hurting them without them even realizing it?
I think probably the number one thing that people are doing that is hurting them is I'm torn between eating the wrong thing and drinking the wrong thing, because those two are just so paramount in people's day-to-day life. But when it comes to trying to fix your diet or find the right diet and all that, it gets overwhelming and people freeze. So I always target drinking the right things first, because it's so much easier to just start drinking more water. Drink more water, drink less of anything else, and you're going to immediately see the effects in your body.
Right. You know, that's so true. And, we could talk about this on another show, but, what drives me nuts is that our food industry is so toxic. And if you go to another country, not even one third of the food is allowed in other countries because it doesn't pass their health, code, because we have so many preservatives and so many bad things in our food that even addictive substances that make us addictive to certain foods, and it's crazy because we are killing the people in our country by giving them a lot of the foods that are on the shelf. Nobody's doing anything to make a stricter, list of food restrictions in the United States to make the food healthier so people can be healthier and live longer lives.
Right.
Right.
And, Americans are starting to wake up to this. The biggest group of people right now is the baby boomers. And the baby boomers are more health conscious right now than any other group in society. And so it's putting a lot of pressure on the food industry, but they're being tricky about it. All they're doing is changing the packaging. They're saying the words healthy on the front, but nothing's changed on the inside, or, all these different things. Or they're putting organic when getting the organic stamp is like just paying somebody some money and getting the stamp. So all these things to say, absolutely. Our processed food is incredibly, incredibly harmful in a lot of ways. And I'm not a warpath kind of naturopath. Like, I'm not saying don't ever eat processed food. But if you go by an 80-20 rule, it helps relieve a lot of that guilt and also helps your body continue to heal. 80% healthy, 20% processed fast food sometimes, once a week, whatever, but staying balanced in that idea, but having an understanding that yes, tons of what we eat is poison. Start reading ingredients. That's what I tell people. First thing, just start reading it. You may not understand it, but just start reading ingredients, because eventually you'll come across a news article where a word will pop out and you're like, oh, that was in the ingredients I read yesterday. Like, maybe I shouldn't eat that.
Most people wait until something actually goes wrong before they take, health seriously. Why is prevention so important?
So it's really the difference between a $50,000 medical bill and a $20 herb over the counter. Like it's really that big a difference. And people just don't think of it in terms of that because prevention seems like a lot of work to them. And so they'd rather just wait for something big to happen. You just have to be logical and take some time to think about the effects of not doing prevention. You don't know whether you're going to survive that big event or not. And so you have to take the time now to invest in your health. And I get a lot of clients that are like, I can't afford your coaching. I can't afford group coaching or anything like that. I'm like, well, can you afford a heart attack? Can you afford a stroke? But we don't think of it in terms of that. Prevention is a savings. Yeah. They say, what's that saying, that old saying about saving money? I can't think of it right now, but health prevention is a savings. It's a savings.
Dollar
a
day keeps the doctor away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like, it's that preemptive, keeping that big occurrence from happening is saving you money from your future self. So thinking of it in terms of that is helpful for a lot of people, I think.
I agree with you. Now, what should people be tracking or paying attention to before they get sick?
So the main one, like I said, is gut, your gut. Pay attention to your gut. Pay attention to your skin. If your skin is dry, if you have to use lotions and things like that a lot, that's a sign of dehydration. Pay attention to your sleep. So those are the big ones right there. Gut, skin, and sleep. If those are not doing well, if there's a change in those at all, really start to focus on increasing that area of your life.
Right. I agree. Now, how can someone start becoming more proactive without becoming obsessed or anxious about their health?
So do the little things. Do the simple thing. I believe in this idea of 8 laws of health, and they're really easy to remember. It's an acronym called New Start. So it's nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, air, rest, and trust in God. So as you look at those, some of them are pretty obvious. Air, fresh air, breathing deeply, water, drinking enough water, half your body weight in ounces, up to a gallon a day, somewhere in there. Rest, 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. So it's the simple things. It really is. It's the little things that matter when it comes to your body healing itself. So that's what I teach in my coaching. It's all about the little things.
I love that. Now, Joel, you're also an entrepreneur. What inspired you to build bpquiz.com?
Yeah. So I really enjoy teaching people, but I wasn't making any money on it. And so I couldn't keep doing it consistently. I had to work as a nurse, but I really wanted to throw myself all into education and teaching people how to heal their bodies naturally and how to work with your doctors, not be Dr. Google addicts or whatever. And so I began to understand that people really like quizzes and they really like simple methods that they can do on their own. And so I packaged the two together, bpquiz.com. It's just a simple quiz that talks about the blood pressure triangle and which part of that triangle you are struggling with and which one you need to focus on. That was the other piece I forgot to say, is that people think that blood pressure has to do with your heart. It's not a heart problem. Blood pressure is not a heart problem. You can address the issues that are affecting blood pressure, but it's not a heart problem. In fact, if your heart is failing, your blood pressure is low. We put you on a suppressor, on dopamine and all these other medications to raise your blood pressure because your heart is failing. So your heart's not failing. It's some other part of your body that's causing that pressure to be high. And so that's what that quiz shows, you know, which part of the triangle you need to focus on. And then I immediately sign you up for this mini course of emails that comes to your inbox and teaches you very specifically some things you can do at home to start lowering that number. And then the conversations you can have with your doctor, like, hey, you know, my blood pressure is looking better. I've been walking. I've been drinking water. I've got, you know, cut some of the caffeine. I don't need so much metoprolol. I don't need so much lisinopril. What do you think? And the doctor's gonna be like, yeah, I see your numbers. They look great. Let's cut that in half, you know? And people are thrilled. Messages on TikTok all the time. I've been watching your videos and I did some of the stuff you said. I incorporated some magnesium in my diet and, you know, I'm out walking, I'm drinking water, and my doctor's taking me off one of my pills and I'm just ecstatic. I'm like, yeah, It's simple stuff. So that's what I, that's why I created that. And people are just overwhelmed with the idea that blood pressure is not something that they're stuck with for the rest of their life. That what they can do helps their body heal and address the causes. And it's just been extremely successful. So my TikTok following and my Facebook following has grown considerably over the last few months. I think I'm over 400,000 followers now. So I'm officially retired from nursing. I'm ecstatic about that as well. But that was what it was about, is really just creating something of value for the people that I care about. And older Americans with high blood pressure, close to my heart, spent much of my time in cardiac ICU and telemetry floors. And it's a big problem. And it's a problem that people can really help lower some of those numbers naturally.
I love that. I love that. Now, let's make this very practical. If someone is listening right now and they want to better understand their health, where should they start?
Well, free stuff. I always tell people, start with the free stuff. Go on YouTube, go on TikTok. I have hundreds and hundreds of videos. Obviously, there's a, but be careful. You know, don't listen to everybody. Do your own research. Listen with a lens of, okay, this person is not telling the truth until you believe that that is not the case. Like, don't go into it except swallowing everything people tell you, because that's just a whole nother trap. But find reputable sources and start educating yourself with the free stuff. And then go to places like bpquiz.com, where you get a free quiz that starts to show you some things that you can further identify and work on. And always, always keep in mind, what's the cause? Where is the cause making this thing my reality? So those are just a few tips that are easy to implement. Anybody can do it, no matter how much money you have or don't have, you know, because that's a big one. Big barrier for people. I just don't have enough money to be healthy. Do you have enough money to be sick is the real question.
I love it. Now, what are the three questions they should ask themselves or their healthcare provider?
What's my biggest problem? Like, if I were to analyze how I feel, you know, what my sickness level is, what's my biggest problem?
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, why do I have that biggest problem?
Yeah.
Like, if I were to figure out just when did it start, what was happening in my life around the time that it started, that's question number two. And then question number three is, what's something I can do today for free to start working on that why? You know, once you've identified your biggest cause or your biggest problem and maybe a thing or two of why you have that problem, what's something you can do today? And I promise you, there's always something you can do in your diet, your drinking habits, and in your sleep habits that will help any problem that you
100%. Now, what is one small change they can make this week that could support better blood pressure and overall wellness?
Yeah. Honestly, and I'm not saying this to sell you anything, but go to bpquiz.com just as a first insight into what blood pressure, the blood pressure triangle really is about, and which part of that triangle is your problem. That knowledge in itself is going to be so liberating for you that think that it's genetic, that you're stuck with it forever, that it's a heart problem that you can't do anything about. And so do that. Start listening to some of the things that I'm talking about when it comes to finding the cause, how to find the cause, order some supplements. Oh, and real quick, I'm not one of those naturopaths that wants to get you off pills onto supplements for the rest of your life. I believe in true healing. So if it comes down to healing something for good, it means coming off of supplements as well, coming off of working with a naturopath as well. That's true healing. And so do promote some supplements to help people make that transition, but I don't want people thinking I'm a nutraceutical, like naturopath either. That's not what I'm about. So I'm a very holistic approach to simple methods of allowing the body to heal itself.
Yeah, I love that. Now, Joel, if there is one thing you want people to understand about their health, their symptoms, and their body's warning signs, what would that be?
That it's very important to understand that no one will ever really get how you're feeling. No matter how much you explain it, no matter how many analogies you come up with, no one is ever going to be in your shoes or feeling what you feel. It's like trying to explain to somebody what you see out of your eyes. It's never going to happen. Right. And so you have to give people around you grace. You have to give yourself grace and just understand that if you don't feel right, trust that. No one else may understand that. Labs may not show it. People may not see it. But trust your feeling that something's just not right. And I need to assess it, fix it, find the cause, do something about it today.
I love that. Now, can you tell us about the services that you provide and where they can find you?
Yeah. So I'm on TikTok, BraveWorksRN on TikTok. I'm on Facebook as well. Same, BraveWorksRN. Also Instagram, thank BraveWorksRN. And again, bpquiz.com is my free quiz for everybody to really just analyze their blood pressure triangle, which one's really stimulating the blood pressure. And we are putting together, we talked about hormones a lot. My wife and I, my wife's also a naturopath. She focuses on women's hormones. And so her and I are putting together a live event in Louisville, Kentucky, June 24, 25th, 2026, with Barbara O'Neill herself. Many of your audience probably know her, and she's going to be there. And we're going to be talking about how women's hormones is really running the show in America, especially blood pressure, diabetes, PCOS, all the menopausal symptoms, and how to just how to understand it first. And then what's in your kitchen, what's, you know, able to start reversing some of that naturally.
Yeah.
Take my quiz. I'll send you that information in the email from the quiz as well. The event, my coaching options and things like that. But that free quiz is just really important for people to start. It's free and it really just helps you start the journey of understanding the cause. And that's all I care about. That's all I care about.
I love it. I love it. And for the listeners out there, your body is always communicating. The question is, whether you're listening early enough, you know, blood pressure, fatigue, stress, weight changes, poor sleep, and feeling off are not the things to ignore. They may be signs that your body is asking for support, clarity, and a deeper look at what really is going on. Joel, I want to thank you so much for being here and for helping people think differently about their health. And if this episode has helped you, make sure you follow the show and share it with someone who needs to hear it. I really do appreciate you coming on the show today and really sharing your knowledge with us. I think it's so important, especially in today's society where you see high blood pressure is on the rise. You see diabetes has tripled. You see, you know, people are having so many different issues. And we need people like yourself who can help people, guide people, give them direction, and really put them on a path that's going to help them get back to the way they want to feel. So I really thank you so much, especially for talking about high blood pressure today and really making people aware. And I encourage our listeners to take the quiz, find out where you're at, and find out if there's something you could do to make yourself even feel better than what you feel already. So thank you so much, Joel. I hope you'll come on again and we could talk some more. And I appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Stacey. It's been an honor.
You have a great day.
You too.